Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the School of Serenity. We are being broadcast here on 4MTV, and 4MTV is a North American initiative to bring mindfulness to mental health. The 4M stand for migration, multicultural and language, mental health, and mindfulness. We have a very wonderful show planned for today, and it's all about making empowered choices and living in alignment for 2022. I am your host, Kara Keem, and I am an author, and I've written a book. I have my notes in it right now, Discovering Your Wings. And my book discusses how I started living an empowered life when I followed my intuition and really sunk into its guidance and wisdom. I am also a psychotherapist and a Reiki master, and I have a private practice blending energy work and therapy, really working with women to help them access the most empowered versions of themselves. And I'm so excited about our guest today. I've known her for about 7 years, and she has had a wonderful unfolding in her career path. She went from being a psychotherapist to a holistic life coach. And Megan O'Malley is on a mission to help as many people as possible really tap into their embodied selves and live in alignment with their divine life purpose. So thank you for being here with us today, Megan. I'm really glad to have you.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yes. And so I would love for you to share with the audience about this unfolding that you've been through. You started off in a very traditional role as a psychotherapist, and then you've really transitioned into a place where you are helping people really tap into their divine life purpose through being their embodied selves. Can you talk to us a little bit about that path and unfolding?
Yes, I could for days.
Yeah.
I think the bottom line of it is I have had a path of going from being really a good achiever who stayed in the box. So I kind of like chose that path. I knew I wanted to connect with people, serve people, support people. And so I did that path. And as I was in that place, having all sorts of spiritual awakening, having all sorts of experiences that challenged the boxiness of what I had learned. And so it called me to step out of that so that I could sort of spread my wings, to use some of your words, and really be fully who I am, which is I'm a brain nerd and I love that kind of stuff. And I'm an intuitive and an empath and a highly sensitive human who navigates the world with a really unique perspective at times. And so I was called to blend energy medicine, energy work with intuition, with all of my toolbox from being a complete nerd for growth and transformation in this practice that I now joyfully get to call my job, which yes. I still can't believe I get to have this as my job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you have the background of being a psychotherapist, because I really believe that that is where psychotherapy is heading. And you stepped out of the box around that. But I believe that incorporating energy work and even plant medicine and intuition is really how we're going to achieve whole body healing in the future.
Absolutely. And I think we live in a culture where we are taught to not value that. And, yes. and we are taught that it's not part of our inherent humanity. It's something for those other people who have that gift, or who, you know, I'm pretty comical in the way I talk about my journey. When I first started coming out of the intuitive closet, I was like, but I don't wear flowy clothes and scarves all the time. I right. like Beyonce in big hoops. Like, where do I fit in? And so I'm on a mission to help people know that, you know, you spot it, you got it.
Yes.
We all have this. It's just sort of a muscle that's been atrophied because it hasn't been nurtured.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. We've really not been taught to tap into these deeper levels of ourselves. It's all been logic and rational thinking and using the mind. And we know that whole body healing and mental health is going to require these other aspects of ourselves that we really haven't been taught about.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've heard the statistic or the fact that only 5% of yes. what our brain functioning is conscious. Mm-hmm. And so even from a logical perspective, that leads me to think, well, how do we tap into that 95% that is still affecting us every moment so that we can be empowered about that? And that's the wisdom that lives in the body. That's the trauma that lives in the body. That's the truth that lives in the body and in those in between spaces of our subconscious. I kind of feel like it's mid-conscious sometimes. Like, we just need somebody to help us see it and name it for it to pop up into conscious awareness. It's like right there. Yeah. So all of that, I often talk about it as a bottom up approach. Mm-hmm. We're the top heavy culture. We're taught,
yes.
We're really taught to live in the mind. And the challenge of that is the mind is where all of our conditioning lives.
Right.
So if we're going to get beyond who we've been taught to be who we really are, which is when we're most mentally well and spiritually well and physically well, we got to get into the other parts.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And those are really the missing links in mental health. And you really talk about this new story, stepping into this new story and this new world that really is being created. And so you're on a mission to help that along.
I am. Somehow I ended up being a heart-centered rebel, even though I was so good at being a good girl. You know, I don't know how that happened really, but I really see it as a divine reclamation of our full humanity. You know, we're taught to live in about 10% is a generous number, 10% of who we really are. And I think if we are to change the world, and this is where I like hop on my sparkly little soapbox, but
yes,
if we are to really change the world, and the world needs change, big change right now, we have to access our whole self to do that, and our whole community. And, you know, we have to be bigger within ourselves and within the world, how we navigate it to create this change and to foster it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. And that reminds me, you are actually quoted in my book twice, and I'll read one quote to the audience, which I think really pertains to the work you're doing and really helping people access this. It says, "You can live a life shaped by external influence or soul alignment. Ultimately, you decide which one to nurture through your daily choices." And so I really feel as though you are helping people nurture the soul alignment choices, come into their embodied selves, and that's how they access knowledge about their own divine life path.
Yeah. And it's, there's a level of peace and wellness that comes when we live that way, but not before our nervous system freaks out. Because when we go against conditioning, all of our stuff is challenged. We, you know, fears around being alone, fear of failure, which is wired up in our nervous system to be worse than death in a lot of ways. It's, we have to move through that and be really brave to feel that peace. And I think the new paradigm, the new path, the new narrative, whatever you want to call it, is asking us to build a toolbox around that middle space between who we've learned to be and who we truly are. And it's gritty, it's messy. I'm very transparent about that in my work. Like, it's not some like butterflies and unicorns jog through the field. It's real. It's a reclamation. It's heroic almost in nature.
Yeah. It absolutely is. And I've experienced that personally. When you go on the journey of transformation, which is your hero's journey, it is a messy, messy process. And I think I met you at the lowest point I've ever been in my process of transformation. And really, that work was so monumental for me. It was just crucial for helping me step into my power and become who I am and spread my wings to even be here now. And so I'd love for you to share with the audience a little bit about that process of helping people get embodied and tap into their divine life purpose, because I've experienced it and it's just so powerful.
Yeah, well, I think a big part, when I was a practicing psychotherapist, I got trained in applied neuroscience and neurofeedback and somatic psychotherapy. And both of those things really pointed me to the body as being the guide. And I noticed when I started doing, I know I was actively in that realm when we connected. And I remember going home at the end of the day after working with clients, helping them connect with their bodies and just being in awe of the magic. There's when people know themselves, when they come home to themselves, the questions get answered. The stuck energy gets moved. It is miraculous is what it feels like to me. And so, you know, you've used the word embodied, and I think that's a missing link. We can't think our way into a new way of being. We have to be the way into a new story. And I think that's a big part of my work. I'm a seer. I thought every good therapist was. That was a story I had. And yes. I see people in their truth. I see the core of their being. That's part of how I work. And so I just ask the questions to help others see that. And then I hold loving space while they freak out about how they're going to actually live that, because it's scary to go from, you know, a buttoned up whatever, or a this is who I've been taught to be, to, yeah, but I'm really this. And we need, that's part of what I believe we're moving towards is moving out of toxic individualism into radical communityship, where we learn how to hold people in their becoming, in their homecoming, whatever it is. And I was doing that on an individual basis. And now I'm building community around it every chance I get. Cause I think when we create a new narrative in community, we're stronger and we can see this work more easily.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's actually when I met you. Leaving the old script behind is quite a scary process. I mean, I met you when I had come from this very, very traditional Southern life, Southern Belle, acted and did everything that I was supposed to. I ended up leaving everything I had ever known, selling everything I owned, getting in a van, driving to Alaska. And after that year in my van, I landed in Asheville, which is where I came across you. And there really was, in our work together, this feeling of the death of my identity and this confusion and not knowing who I was. So I've left the old narrative behind. I'm in this new narrative, or I'm trying to muddle my way through. And who am I now? What does this mean for me now? You know, so it's quite a process.
Yeah. And I want to name, it's terrifying.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I don't like to make these things kind of cute and light like we often do. It is terrifying to leave the comfort zone of one identity and move to another. And usually there's a gap in between. So there's no like replacement real quick and easy. It's, you have to be in the, I use Oracle cards a lot, and there's this empty room card. Like, you have to go to the empty room of yourself where it's dark and there's nothing and there's everything, so that the new can come in. And it's, we're a culture that's not taught to grieve. We're a culture that's not taught to feel. We're a culture that's taught that there are some emotions that are okay and others that aren't. And absolutely. And that's a big part of this. You know, I see it as, we're coming into greater wholeness right now, where instead of just being able to think our way forward or be alone, we're able to feel our way forward. We're able to learn how to grieve, which is deeply sacred.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And that's so important, because I think you probably feel the same way that I do about this topic. In mental health, we're really pigeonholed into these small boxes. You know, we're given this diagnosis and then we're told we need this medication. And I think the healing of trauma, the healing of loss, even shifting our relationship to mental health involves what you were just describing, sitting in the empty room and saying, well, who am I now if this trauma has been transformed? If I'm no longer this diagnosis in this little box, you know, I think that we've just gotten so narrow and rigid into this belief of not feeling and being pigeonholed into these diagnoses.
Yeah. And I often think in a systemic sense, and the medical model is based on there being an expert who heals a person, right? An expert who knows better, who who says, this is your diagnosis or this is the medicine you need. And I'm speaking of beyond mental health, just how we're taught to think about our healing. And so we walk around, whether we're conscious of it or not, with a disempowered story that we don't have the tools to heal ourselves. Now, often we don't. Often we are not, we don't live a life with enough privilege and support, and you know, systems of oppression are very real and poverty is very real. And there are a lot of folks who, if they had a narrative about being empowered to know themselves more deeply in service of healing themselves, I would like to think that more people would feel whole, would feel more joy, would feel more aligned with purpose, would be overall more healthy. You know, one of the things that continues to amaze me is as I work with clients, they physically change and I will see them, their faces, they'll look younger. I've seen people lose or gain weight, whatever their body needs to come into greatest health. I've seen all these things happen just as a result of them being more aligned with who they actually are. And I think that's what's so exciting to me is when we bring all these different modalities and all these different approaches so people can choose how to learn about themselves, they have greater capacity to heal in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And I believe that even with physical health as well, you know, part of my practice, I'm seeing a PT, is to get quiet every night, to tune into my body and to let my body tell me what it needs, you know, what it needs for wellness, what it needs for wholeness. And if we can have these practices of tuning into our needs, tuning into our fear, tuning into our grief, that's where such profound healing can happen physically and mentally.
Absolutely. It's very holistic. And one of my personal practices that keeps me aligned is that I've built a skill set around listening to my body. And it's, you know, we can sit here and talk about how awesome it is to listen to our body and tune in. And it's also important, I think, for those of us who are doing that practice to remember we had to learn it. We had to actually learn the skill of listening to positive, negative, and neutral sensations in the body, because we're taught to notice the ones that are at about a 9 or 10 level of intensity, negative. And yes, by that point, our body and nervous system is freaking out. So, you know, just last weekend, I've been very on and out with some exciting things I've got going on in my business. And I finished a guided visioning thing for New Year's Day, and my body went, now you sit down. Mm-hmm. I got body aches. I got the whole thing. Yep. And I listened and I went, okay, I hear you. I hear you. That wasn't in the plans. And here I go. I'm going to go and watch a day of Netflix because that will turn my brain off, because my brain is busy, as you can tell. And I woke up the next day feeling great because yes, I honored it and I listened. Whereas 10 years ago, me would have pushed through. Absolutely. I would have pushed through. I would have kept forcing. I would have kept all of, you know, like shoulding myself. And I'm committed to not doing that as much as possible now. Right. Even though I have that default.
Yeah. Condition. Yes. I remember even coming to you when I was feeling very, very sick once and thinking, do I have a vitamin deficiency? What's going on? You know, I'm really concerned. I need to just go to the doctor. And I remember you saying, what if your body's just trying to tell you it needs some rest? Yeah. You know, and learning that new dialogue with my body. And you've even shared with me at times when I was sick, maybe your body is just trying to claim what it needs. It's just claiming what it needs. And what if it's spiritually aligned for you to be sick right now?
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes our bodies are the most efficient way to shift energy. And what a new story is that, right? That what if having a cold over a weekend is a way to process deep grief that's much more efficient than, you know, allowing ourselves to cry for 10 minutes every other day for the next 6 months? What if, I don't know, but I think when we learn to be curious rather than trying to, we do a lot of forcing. We do a lot of, and this is that masculine energy, I would call it the wounded masculine, that really runs through our conditioning and our culture. That's like, force it, push it, control it. And what if we get co-creative with our body and we go, I don't really understand you. It feels like you're speaking another language. And honey, I'm here. Tell me what you need. Help me understand. I'm listening. And I found that when I do that and just give it a little breath, give it a little space to talk to me, something emerges that's important. I don't always get it right, but something emerges. And I think part of what you named is we have to cultivate the ability to be disappointed in the answers it gives.
Right, right.
Like, because when my body tells me to rest, I get to have a temper tantrum for a minute and be like, but I don't wanna, I've got this thing, or I had plans, and just go, okay. The higher message is my body needs something that my conscious mind won't let me acknowledge.
Right.
I surrender in an empowered way.
Yes, absolutely. And we live in this culture where we think we're supposed to always be healthy, we're supposed to always be happy, and we're supposed to always be on. I mean, that is very much the message we're given. And something is vitally wrong if we're not healthy and we're off, or we just wake up and feel crummy for the day. I mean, we're missing the human experience, right?
That's it. When we realize we're taught to pretend all the time in this very high pressure narrative of perfectionism and shiny veneers, and we decide we're just going to be the divine weirdos that like feel all different messy things, all of a sudden the counterintuitive bit is life flows so much better.
Right.
We get physically healthier. We are emotionally We actually tend to be more joyful, more on purpose in our work in the world. Everything works better when we allow ourselves to be what we've been taught not to be.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And when I looked the part of how I was supposed to look, you know, I was tanning all the time and had bleached blonde hair and had the certain outfits. I was the sickest I've ever been in my life, physically and emotionally, because my body knew it was a self-betrayal to fit into this veneer. It knew that this was not in alignment with my soul, and it was rebelling with physical illness, mental illness. I mean, I just, you know, I was in a bad place when I looked the part perfectly. Yeah. And that leads me to your other quote in my book, which is so perfect for that, because this is very, very much where I was. And this is a chapter titled Permission to Be Me. But it says, this is from you, your addiction to approval is the root of your performative acts. Take responsibility for your addiction and you'll become more honest and aligned with your actions.
Yeah, I don't buffer a lot.
Yeah. And when we do that, we are physically healthier, mentally healthier. Our soul is shining brighter. I mean, you said, I see people change. They gain weight, they lose weight, their face shifts. I mean, that's what happens when we're living in alignment with our actions and we're not doing these performative acts. And that's really the root of a lot of addiction, actually.
Yeah. Well, and I think in this case, we become addicted to the illusion of control.
Yes.
And there's this, we're a fear-based culture. Absolutely. Everything around us teaches us to be scared from very, very early. And when we're scared, our natural human response is to try to control. And so we control often by trying to kind of get 100 on the test of life, whatever we've taught that test is. So it might, for some people, it might be tan skin, perfect style and bleached blonde hair. For others, it might be never making less than an A in school. For others, it might be, I'm going to be the best ladder climber in corporate culture that I can be, whatever it is. But we will be addicted to that sense of control that we get when we think we're doing it right. But the deep grieving and the deep suffering is we're doing it right, but we're not being us truly. And there is deep, I think there's self-inflicted trauma of chronically trying to be someone we're not. And we're not, why aren't people talking about this all the time?
Right. Yes. Absolutely. I agree. I do believe it is the self-inflicted trauma. Absolutely. I've never heard that before, but when you say that, I get a full body yes in that. Mm-hmm. And there's something you would always ask me is, where are you betraying yourself? You know, and what areas are you betraying yourself? When I would start feeling really, really anxious, or I was unsettled, you know, and there was always a place that I was not living in alignment every single time.
Yeah. And you had to, you know, I remember that there were times, I remember the feeling of you saying, I did the hard thing, whatever it was, whether it was speaking a truth, whether it was setting a boundary, whether it was expressing yourself in a different way. And you would say, I did the hard thing and it fell out of my body. Like the suffering, the anxiety, the headache, whatever the manifestation was, it fell out.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It did every time. Yeah. Every time when you asked me to look at where there was a self-betrayal, I took action around it. The anxiety immediately dissipated and everything shifted for me energetically. And I think that's a huge piece missing in mental health, is that there's an energy component that we're not tapping into or talking about.
And action. I think part of why I shifted into coaching was I saw the dominant approach to therapy as really insight oriented. And mm-hmm. insight is awesome. It really is affirming. It does all these things, but insight without action doesn't move the energy. And so there's a part of coaching that honestly, I was really resistant to at first, because I felt like it was all action and no kind of alignment. But when I realized, oh, in this role, I can challenge people really overtly to take action aligned with the insight they're gaining. And then they feel that shift all the way through. Mm-hmm. That's part of what gets me really excited about it is, you know, speaking truth moves energy. Absolutely. Doing something in a new way moves energy. There's really, we're energetic beings. We need to do this stuff in embodied ways. We can't just bypass that part of our humanity.
Right. Right. Yes.
Good news.
Yes. Right. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And so you're all about helping people access that to find their divine life purpose. And you said that's when the magic happens. And in my work with you, there very much is this quality of magic there. I feel this essence of magic in the work that you do. Maybe we should share with the audience what magic is in reference to that, and how do you get it to show up? Because I just feel that essence so strongly in your work. I remember one time I went in and I said, Megan, there's just too much to discuss. There's so much going on. I don't know how we're going to do it in one session. And you said, we'll slow time and we'll bend reality and we'll work in magic. And every time you're able to do that, I mean, it's really amazing to be in that, the other seat across from you experiencing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think magic, there's a lot of ways I can talk about magic, but yes. Magic is a lot about intention. And I don't mean intention in this sort of light touch way. I mean, when intention is really rooted in truth and authentic values, we literally can bend reality, and yes. and not in a way that makes us not have to deal with our humanity. But when you and I basically in that moment, when I said, oh, we'll just expand time.
Yes. Yes. That's what it was.
Yeah. And when you and I both bought into that idea that there is an abundance of time for everything we could need in this session, and you will leave with what you came for, when we both agreed on that, that's a moment of magic, because that's a moment of interpersonal attunement, interpersonal alignment. And we, you know, now that I'm into quantum physics, because I'm, again, that's my fun time. Yeah. I know that there is science that shows why that works. And yes. we did it from a place that wasn't rooted in fear. We weren't trying to control time. We were just going, we trust. Mm-hmm. We trust. Let's do this together. And so I think part of my deepest joy in my work is holding magical possibilities for other people. And to be really transparent, it's more challenging to hold them for myself than it is for others. Mm-hmm. And so my deep sacred practice is holding magical intentions and possibilities for myself, because I've got my own conditioning to contend with. With other people, I can hold it in like this very Santa Claus way. Like, of course it's magic. Of course magic is real.
Yeah.
So I think there's something about that, but I also think it's part of my divine purpose, because I've had people tell me, I step within 10 feet of you and stuff starts happening. Or I had a conversation with you and all of a sudden all these magical synchronicities happened in my life. So part of it is that I get to be in wonder of why these magical things happen. I bring my intention. I try and understand it so I can serve from that place. But I think it's also just part of who I'm supposed to be in the world. And that's been something I've been reluctant to embrace. I mean, using the word magic in my work is something I never would have done a decade ago. Never. I would have used neuroscience. I would have used like outcomes or something like that, but it's my truth. So I embrace it. And when I embrace it, I'm happier, I'm joyful, and I get to serve more fully. So.
Yes. And that is a gift. That is a just natural, you know, essence that comes through with you, is this feel of magic, this quality of magic. And you talked about quantum physics and you are doing work around that. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because I've done some of that work with you. It's really interesting.
Yeah. So I'm using a tool called quantum biofeedback, the Genius Insight Genius program. And it's basically, I'm going to do the short version. It's based on the idea that everything, every thought, every belief, every meridian, every chakra, every emotion has a frequency. So a hertz frequency that can be determined. So that's thing number one. And then there we have this energy field that carries all sorts of frequencies. So we've got our physical body and we've got our energy field. And in the energy field, there's like waveforms. This is part of the idea behind quantum physics. And if we can create cohesion and alignment in our energy field, those waves don't collapse to create as much of the physical reality. So it's like it's energy work, the nerd version. And I say nerd with all sorts of empowerment. So it's like your own custom Reiki frequency is the best way I can put it. So people send me their photo and their voice, and through their voice, the hertz that, I mean, it's crazy science that I will never understand. It identifies the things that are out of harmony. And then as I'm doing a session with somebody, I run that frequency and just ask them to hold the intention of being receptive and to feel their energy field coming into harmony for their highest good. And it helps this part that is unconscious, that we carry stuff from our ancestors. We carry stuff from what happened yesterday with our partners. We carry, you know, I watched this whole past, whatever it's been now, 2 years, a COVID season, and how much fear came up even more in the collective. And so we're carrying more fear because of this great unknown and grief and death and all this stuff. And so even just helping sort of soothe that a little bit, I think has been really helpful for people, because I can be in my house and be deeply centered and be in trust and all that. And then if I go to the grocery store, I'm soaking up all kinds of stuff. And I work with a lot of empaths. I work with a lot of highly intuitive people, healers that may or may not know they're intuitive. And so this is a tool that really helps name what's in the unconscious realm. And also from an energy medicine perspective, support the shift. So when that's running while we're moving things on a conscious level in a coaching session, it's getting at alignment from multiple sides, which is really exciting to me.
It's so exciting. And it's so valuable, because so much of our behavior is completely unconscious.
We 95%.
Understand why we're acting the way that we are. It's just stuck in the subconscious and it's really dictating our actions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our physical health.
It is.
So not only our perspective, but I often will notice when something's going on in my belly and I'll go, okay, there's some sort of emotion that, or fear or something that I'm not processing. And so I'll get out the quantum biofeedback. What's fun is it's running right now to support this conversation. I set it up before we.
Oh, great.
And it will help me identify, and I'll get curious. Well, these are the top emotions identified. What might be going on there? And then as soon as we name it, and there's this, you know, the layers of consciousness, and it bridges from this unconscious level to the conscious, it creates like quantum leap healing. It just, it moves things really quickly. But we need these tools to help us see, sort of pull the veil back and see what's really going on, because our conditioning will shut it down. I'm queen of being fine, like chronically fine.
Yes.
And that didn't serve me, because I have a really high tolerance for discomfort. Mm. And I think a lot of folks do. So they don't notice when something's wrong. They don't notice the healing invitation or opportunity. And this helps me.
Yes. In my business. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I'm sitting here, I'm going, oh gosh, I need to do another one of those sessions. There's so much happening all the time that we're negotiating and navigating. Yeah, it's really powerful work. Mm-hmm. And so, speaking of powerful work, tell us about what you have going on. You're running some groups, and tell us about the work that is happening in your world right now.
So excited. Speaking of magic.
Yes.
So I was reluctant to do it at first, because I've always been so holistic and work with different types of people. But after the past several years of seeing that most of the people who are drawn to me are therapists, coaches, healers, or creatives, or in some way like paradigm shifting, out of the box thinker types, whether they identify that way or not, I am now running my next community program, which is a group program, but community program for entrepreneurs. So it's called The Enchanted Entrepreneur. And what it is it's for anyone who is identifying as a conscious entrepreneur, a heart-centered entrepreneur, or somebody who's really committed to living their purpose in the world. It's a container. It's my take on a mastermind. I find mastermind seems really masculine and like problem-solving and mental. So I'm calling it a mistermind, like mystery and mysticism. And it's deep intimacy, high commitment for anyone who is on that entrepreneurial path. Because what I've seen over the years in my own personal life and in the mastermind groups I've held previously is people don't talk about the challenges of living our purpose in the world in this new way. And so, you know, how brave and vulnerable it is to put ourselves out there, whether it's on social media or on launching a program. And I don't know any entrepreneur who has managed to launch everything successfully. So those moments of failure, which we judge, but really it's a necessary part of growing and becoming, having a container that really affirms that, and a toolbox that I've created over years of trying to find things that were, you know, marketing strategies that aren't manipulative, that aren't meant to trigger the nervous system, that are meant to affirm and empower someone purchasing from us, as well as how to get our thoughts in line and get our energy right. So it's this very holistic new paradigm approach to serving. Because I figure if I can support the people doing amazing work in the world to make more money, have more joy, attract more aligned clients or whatever you're doing, purchasers, the world changes. So if I can put my magic behind people who are doing magic in the world, that really excites me. And again, doing it in a new paradigm way where we're not buying into the systems of oppression that have shaped business. Right. No more.
Right. Yes.
We get to be fully human.
Yes.
And magical.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I love that. It's going to be a beautiful unfolding there for that work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm always amazed at how quickly the time goes. And I just feel like I could talk for forever with you about these topics because they're so important. What is one thing you can leave the viewer with as far as accessing a more embodied, empowered version of themselves in 2022? Is there anything that they can do to just one step towards that?
Yeah. I would actually love to leave two. If that's
great. Yes.
It's like the whole wish for more wishes thing.
Yes,
so
yes.
I would say thing number one is set aside time every day, like 5 minutes. Everybody can do 5 minutes. You can lock yourself in the bathroom for 5 minutes if you got a busy life, and be in quiet and be in stillness and just see what's there. So check in with your body and not in this diagnostic way of like, well, my stomach hurts, so I got to fix it. But just like, oh, there's tension here, or oh, it feels light here, or I have warmth on my back. And then do the same thing for thoughts and just go, what am I telling myself, about this moment? And just give it space to breathe without the need to fix, control, and do, because that alone starts moving energy. That alone is deeply healing, and that alone regulates the nervous system.
Right.
And
right.
then the other part is stay curious about why you are doing what you're doing. Because so much of what we do and what we tell ourselves we should do is not at all based in our truth. It is based on our cultural conditioning. And when we stay curious about that, we learn how to bring out our inner teenager and be like, no, I'm not doing that anymore. But if we don't get curious, we just suffer.
Yeah.
And we don't need to suffer as long as we've been taught to. So, you know, these teachings about how forever is the thing to be valued, and security is the thing to be valued, and predictability is the thing to be valued, and control, all like, stay curious, because when you're curious, you give space for more parts of yourself to open up and be shown to you, like your desires, your feelings, all of that. And that's where magic happens, is when we give those things space to bubble up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And I would describe your work as absolutely magical. I mean, it is. That's where the magic happens. And that's such a gift that you have. So how can people find you? How can they connect with you? Because more people are going to want magic.
Yes, it's time for magic, y'all. And it doesn't have to be this big, heavy slog to create change. So they can find me on Instagram. It's my favorite social media playground, at Megan O'Malley Coaching. It's Megan with an H. And MeganO'MalleyCoaching.com is my website. Sign up for my newsletter. I send out love notes and inspo there. And if you're curious about The Enchanted Entrepreneur, you can reach out and we can have virtual tea and see if it's a fit. The journey starts very soon. So it starts on the 17th of January is when the container opens, and our first meeting is the following week. So those are the things. And I love connection, and I love building community. So I welcome the opportunity to meet some new folks.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you, Megan. Thank you so much for being here today, for sharing your magic with the show, and for just telling us about how we can be more embodied and more aligned with our divine life purpose in this coming year.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I so appreciate you.
Yes. All right. Many blessings to all of you viewers, and thank you for joining us.